we're talking about fitness content today, and like, I think the reason why it was a bit hard to sort of figure out an intro for this was because there's like a sort of broad range of fitness content, and fitness content has sort of always been kind of around and always been like part of being like online, but like the phases that it has gone through is different. And we've all been having conversations about the sort of weirdness of like fitness content today, in the sense that like there is kind of an abundance of it. And as a result, like weirder and weirder things are coming out of it. And the reason why this is kind of both important and interesting is because it's also having a lot of impact on like social and political culture as well. So like, Tom, I wondered whether you could sort of intro us into this by like talking, especially because like so many of the ideas that sort of have formulated this episode have just sort of come from conversations we've had with you. Like, how have you kind of experienced fitness content online, and like, where do you sort of think it is at the moment that makes it like an interesting subject to talk about?
I think the fitness content for me, I suppose my first exposure to it was when I first started going to the gym like years and years ago. And it's like, it starts out in similar ways when anyone takes up kind of any interest. You look up stuff on YouTube of how to do stuff correctly. And obviously because you're going to the gym and you're like moving weight, you don't want to, you know, break your elbows or drop weights on your head or stuff like that. So you're looking for how to do stuff with correct form. At least I was. And then because I started engaging in like fitness in the like 2010s, obviously the kind of algorithmically fed content was like, oh, you like going to the gym. Here is 100 videos on your YouTube homepage about fitness, about like, do this thing, don't do this thing, you're doing this thing wrong. Here's how, if you get swole, women will love you and guys will respect you. And I think the interesting stuff about fitness content, like you said in the intro, is that it's now overspilled into other areas of content in general, both online and in person. And I think it's one of those things where like, it's no longer just I like going to the gym. It's now a content segmentation of media in general. It's like heavily influencing influencers, and it's just like so ever present in everyone's life that like I think it's kind of inescapable.
Also, I just to interject really quickly here, because neither of you said it, we're talking about men's fitness.
Yeah, I did actually have this on my post-it right now. Do please make sure to note that we are talking mostly, if not all, about men on this episode.
And we're not just talking about men's fitness content. We are talking very specifically about cis men's fitness content. There may well be an entire kind of internet ecosystem of fitness content which is aimed specifically at trans men. This is not something that I'm familiar about or know about. Men's fitness content and women's fitness content is pretty different. So we decided that it made sense to just talk about men's stuff on this episode because of getting Tom on to talk about it. And because it's a little bit daft to expect Tom to be like, oh yeah, and also here is what I know about stuff which is aimed at women. So just to clarify that up, Tom.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You read my mind as well. So like you said, I think the ecosystems for content is like that target men and women, both cis and transgender, is like hugely different. But yeah, talking about like big swole guys on the internet.
That's the whole plan.
It's the whole thing. Were there any, when you were first starting out, like, or even before, because I think one thing that we were speaking about the other day was Ziz. And Ziz is like one of the first sort of like gym bro kind of internet, like really uniquely internet celebrities. I knew of Ziz because of like memes that my friends were sending, but I didn't really know too much of the backstory. But the fact that like Ziz sort of remains this kind of like very important internet character in relation to how we understand fitness through the lens of content. And you have like a lot more you sort of experience, or at least you know much more about Ziz. I wondered whether you could talk about the phenomena of Ziz, but also just other kind of early internet like gym guys and how, or whether they even sort of set the foundations for like kind of being aesthetic as a for like the types of aesthetic that sort of work well for content streams and how like they're very different to sort of, you know, I guess what I'm trying to get to is like the sort of zizzes of the of like understanding fitness culture is like very different to like what Men's Health, for example, will promote as like a fit, you know, a sort of like aesthetically fit man or like any other sort of other like types of professional fitness publications or websites.
Yeah. Ziz is like a super interesting case in like the confluence of like so much stuff around online fitness. Like one, he's from a different era of bodybuilding that like doesn't really exist anymore. Like he was like really jacked, really lean. He was an Asian guy from Australia as well, which is something that is like massively underrepresented in fitness content in general. It's a lot of white people. And also he was like a proto influencer before influencers were really a thing. Like he was predominantly on like Facebook, YouTube, and he has like a really brash personality, and like he like famously like sold his Xbox to get like a gym membership, and like was kind of the proto like sort your life out influencer. He was like all about, you know, the get in the gym, you can take control of your own life, and through fitness kind of a weird self-determination. But he was like, at that time, around the early 2010s, he unfortunately passed away in a sauna. And it's also, he touches on the weird martyrdom of a lot of fitness influencers, particularly in the bodybuilding arena, where he passed away in a sauna due to complications with his heart, which is probably complications with steroid use. His brother is actually really big on TikTok now as well, and pays a lot of tribute to him. But he was kind of the forebearer for a lot of guys that we see right now. Similarly, we had like people like Rich Piana, who is also dead now due to complications with steroid use, who, if you ever see pictures of him, just looks like insane marshmallow man. Like he's just so huge. And I think on the flip side of that, someone who in the fitness content game has been around for a long time, someone like Scott Herman, who is mainly focused on here's how to do this exercise correctly. And he's been around for like 13, 14 years on YouTube. Like a lot of these guys predate like really like Instagram even existing.
Mm.
Okay, that's interesting. Yeah. So have they kind of successfully, obviously the ones that haven't sadly died, have they successfully made the crossover from kind of proto-influencing into influencing and content creation as it stands now?
Mm-hmm. 100%, because I think like fitness influencers naturally translate so well across platforms, aside from maybe Twitter, because unfortunately with Twitter you have to be funny, which a lot of them aren't. They're very like po-faced and serious. But like, yeah, like they were kind of the first wave of like influencers on Instagram, because their content is like, you know, look at me, I'm absolutely shredded, I'm in great shape. And they were the first wave really of like people, as well as like your Zoellas and your Muas and like all that sort of content. It like easily translated across. But I think that era of like the early 2010s is really when we see this kind of crossover from going to the gym and fitness in general like being like a leisurely hobby into like what could argue be as an obsession for a lot of people. And we see like fitness being viewed through this lens of like this kind of self-improvement lens and like self-optimization lens, and it's not enough to just go to the gym because you enjoy it. And it's around the time that like Jersey Shore is really popular, and like the cultural thing of like them being very gauche and brash, and like they're going to the gym to get their pump on, and it's like treated as like a joke. And then like a couple of years later, you have like going to the gym being this huge cultural force in both content and in like people's lives. Because you talk to most people now who are like really into going to the gym, it's not just like I go to the gym because I enjoy it. It's like I have to be the strongest, biggest guy that I can be, and it's like that is the main focus of their life, their job, their families, whatever, all work around going to the gym.